Some of you have heard about my crazy dreams. I don't know if you remember that. I have crazy dreams. They don't make any sense. People who claim to be dream interpreters have never had any success. And I often have a stage dream. Now, I have pastor dreams all the time. This is different. It's a stage dream. I spent a lot of time on stage before I did this for a living. I have dreams every once in a while that I'm in the middle of a performance, and it's my stage entrance, and I go out, and I don't know any lines. It's like I don't even know what the show is, and they're looking at me, expecting me to know lines, and I'm pretty good at that on off the cuff, on your feet. I mean, in fifth grade, that's how I did my speech class, like extemporaneous. That was me, man. I just speak on this, okay, I can speak on that for 15, 20 minutes, as you know, sometimes longer than that. And that feeling of not being prepared, have you felt that feeling? Whether it's a surprise event like that or something coming up and you didn't spend time getting ready for it. And that's why today we're going to be looking at one of the accounts in the Bible of the Palm Sunday events. But Palm Sunday isn't until next Sunday, because I want us to kind of look into that and be prepared, because it's going to be a praise service, and sometimes coming to a praise service unprepared keeps you from praising, and there's benefit. We're going to talk a little bit about benefit as well, and I'm aiming something at some of you folks. I'm not going to try to look at you or call you by name either today or next week, but those of you who I have never heard share a praise in the times we've had praise service, I'm talking to you. So I just want you to spend some time with the Lord and give you some direction here if you have a handout, and hopefully that this will be valuable to you because it is valuable to you and to us, in case you don't know. So we're going to read through the scripture first. If you have your handout, or you'll see it as well on the screen. This is the John account, the Gospel of John account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on this day called Palm Sunday. It says, the next day the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him long ago, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. Amen. That's one of the accounts. All the Gospels have an account. There's a lot different information included in the other accounts. And next week, you know, entering into the time where we're going to be praising the Lord, we have special music for you. And hopefully we're just going to be able to cry out to the Lord, kind of in this pattern, only we're coming in with a knowledge, we're coming in with a purpose, with an intention. And what I like best about our celebration of this event in the church calendar is we know the truth. And these people were praising out of a lack of information, a lack of fullness, and sometimes with ulterior motives. And so we don't want any of that, because the benefit goes away if we don't come truthfully, if we don't come honestly to Jesus with that kind of praise. So number one on your handout, if you have one of those, the presence of Jesus draws praise. His very presence draws praise. Now, we also know it draws criticism from people who don't like what he's doing and a bunch of other negative things, but we know where he went, wherever he went, whether it was a split between leaders who were dogging him or the people who he was helping and they were praising him. Where Jesus is, praise is encouraged. It's kind of drawn out. It's not automatic, but it's like a tractor beam on a Star Trek on the Enterprise, you know. It's like it pulls people in, and we see this. He's coming in on this foretold series of events. Way back in the Old Testament, that quoted scripture about the colt the donkey that Jesus would ride on. And he came in that way, and they were just going crazy, man. They were praising. Actually, we see in one of the accounts in one of the places that the leaders say, stop them. They're not doing the right thing. We're not going there today, but here it is. It happened. It's almost like it can't not happen. Are you involved in that? I guess is one question. Are you involved in that? So we see the way that they were praising Jesus. And so, as I said, we get to look under the hood instead of just the appearance of these things. We know what it really means to call Jesus or call out these phrases to him. So they recognized, letter A, they recognized a king. A king speaks of authority, but a king speaks of safety. A king speaks of many things. And we see that a king is represented not only by their shouts, blessed is the king of Israel, but by their cloaks laying down as a sign of submission to royalty. And here we see this happening in the book of 2 Kings, way back in the history of Israel. From 2 Kings 9 and verse 13, they hurried and took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king, one of the kings of Israel being coronated into his space. And so this was a familiar kind of thing, and it wasn't just with the Israelites. Actually, none of these expressions were only unique to Israel or the Jewish tribe. It was kind of all authorities and all kind of the hierarchies of the day and stretching back into the years really had similar kind of celebrations. And so they recognized that you honor a king by laying cloaks down in front of them, like Sir Walter Raleigh, who's the latest. That's an old, old story. Probably not many of you didn't have regular history, in school, and whatever queen was walking by. Anyway, sorry. That was a rabbit trail. Ping! It's the cold. It's not. We also see that they recognized Jesus as king by the palms. Palms have been a sign of victory for eons. It's the rolling out of the red carpet. Ancient Rome, so way before Jesus came on the scene in the Roman Empire, there were symbols. They found symbols of palms that were symbols of victory. There are other cultures reaching back in for a long time. So again, it's not just that this small group of people, descendant from Jacob, who was called Israel in the Old Testament, did this. This was like a known, palms. A stranger in that crowd of people seeing Jesus come in would understand, palms, this is somebody in authority, this is a king. And then, as I said, shouts, they said it, blessed is the king of Israel. Now, again, just a quick mention, but we need to mention, because sometimes we tilt off center. They wanted a king to be rescued from the Roman government. They really weren't looking for a spiritual king, the one who would be the Lord over their whole lives and have authority and sovereignty. We know that. So keep that in mind. This whole time we're together today is to stir these thoughts in you in the week between now and next Sunday. And think about what that means. What does it mean that he is a king for us? If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, he's your king. And what does that mean? We'll say more about that a little bit. So they in the presence of Jesus draws praise. They recognized a king as he was coming in. B, they celebrated a miracle worker. Verses 17 and 18, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. That they witnessed just not very long before this that this dead man in the tomb for 4 days came alive, and he wasn't like a zombie with flesh hanging off him from rot. He was whole. And he came out and walked among them and began or continued his relationship with Jesus. And we know from the account of Jesus on earth, there was miracle upon miracle upon miracle. There was the casting out of demons. There was blind men, blind from birth, which was different than someone who went blind and received their sight back again. Blind from birth was like a sign that you were not a good person, and it was a bunch of other things as well. And we know that Jesus attracted crowds all throughout those 3 years of his public ministry because of the miracles. It's no different here. They saw this miracle worker and probably in their lives thought, this person can help me. And it might be selfish or it might not be selfish. It really doesn't matter. There was a whole mishmash of how people approached who Jesus was and coming into the scene as he did on this particular day. And so they not only recognized him as a king and celebrated him as a miracle worker, but see, they called upon the Savior. I originally put in a Savior because that would be more their perspective, but we know him as the Savior. There's only one. One who would rescue. And the word Hosanna means emphatically, Lord, save. Lord, save. And people were shouting that. Now, you know, just like today, we don't always understand what we are supposed to be saved from. You know, in the terminology of the church, which, you know, all throughout my growing up years is, you know, you ask somebody, are you saved? Well, saved from what? when there was a consciousness, kind of Christian over umbrella consciousness in our nation, people kind of knew what that meant. But that's no longer true. But they were coming to him for salvation for different reasons. Matter of fact, we know that the presence of Jesus draws praise so much so that when the Pharisees in Luke told him to stop the disciples, this is what happened. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." I tell you, he replied, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Matter of fact, the stones do cry out. All heaven and earth testify to Jesus being the King, the Lord, the Savior. So this is the question. Are you in his presence? And this is one of the tells. Do you praise spontaneously? And by spontaneously, I mean when an event happens. We've been trying to make a point in prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And of course, you're all invited to that. So you can Zoom too, because we do Zoom. And I send out a Zoom connection. You can email the church office, info@lfmchurch.net, and get you on that list if you're interested. But we've been stressing sharing when God has moved. That's one aspect of what praise is. And attributing to God things that the world tries to encourage us to attribute to coincidence, to luck, to, you know, the natural order of things. When we pray and God moves, we get to praise the Lord. That's spontaneous when things happen. By the way, negative things, I'll talk about that in a minute, as well as positive things. Are you in the presence of Christ? I talk about the same things all the time, so I'm just kind of remind you, he is present in his word. And if you are present in the word, not reading it as a mission to read it, but reading it to discover his presence, to hear from him, you will be actively in his presence. And guess what will happen? You will praise. When you pray to him and you tell him your burdens and you pray on behalf of other people and you have the kind of prayer that just says, like the boy Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and listen for what God might be saying to you. You are actively seeking his presence, and he will be there, and you will praise. Christian fellowship, and I'm not talking about come to church. It's stupid to tell people who are in church you ought to come to church because you're already here. It's fellowship in circles, you're in your own family, in your neighborhood, and doing things that are not only today that cause you to come on purpose because it's your family that are together trying to follow Jesus where the presence of God is. But it also comes in a special way when you are sharing your faith with other people and you're on the edge of comfortability. I don't know if that's even a word. Oftentimes, God's presence rushes in when you are most uncomfortable through obedience to what he's calling you to do. And so that's one of the gauges I'm asking you to pray into this week. Are you actively in the presence of Jesus? Maybe we should throw in regularly. And I'll let you define what that means. An awesome step would be if you don't have any regular active, if you institute one thing, that's a great step. God will reward you with making it easier, more natural for you to come before him. Because when Jesus is present, praise happens. Now, why is that important? Well, number two in your handout, if you have a handout, praise aligns us with God. It is so hard to stay in alignment. Every time I go get tires on one of my vehicles, those guys down at Bell Tire, they do a free alignment check. Well, I do my own alignments. I can't do caster and camber much because I don't have the right gauges, but toe in, that's the tire wearing one. I do that myself, and they always give me the fact sheet, you know. And I have discovered over the years that your car doesn't go out of alignment nearly as much as they tell you it does. But when I was a kid and we used to drive on this road called Martinsville, where our Christmas tree farm was that we went to every year, you probably drive once down the whole length of that road and you probably need alignment. But you want the tires on your car to track straight, and it helps you stay straight, and it keeps the rubber on the tires instead of wearing it out, making unstable and unsafe. Praise aligns us with God. Now, that's not the only thing that aligns us with God. You understand that, right? But that's what we're talking about today. It's one of the things that are in our arsenal of safety, our arsenal of being protected, our arsenal of us, you know, being strong in the faith. Praise aligns us with God. It reminds us who's in control. When we praise God, it celebrates his control and quenches ours, our need for it, our false sense that we are in control. My morning reading, Jesus Listens. I don't know if we gave some of those out to leaders a couple years ago, and I'm going through that. And this morning's reading, oddly enough, not oddly, the Lord knows what he's doing, was about this same issue about, you know, I sometimes get this false sense that I'm in control. When things are going well, I think they're in control. But when I praise him, no matter what, maybe that's a parenthetical statement you need to apply to that. For instance, you come into church on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and you go through and you turn that furnace up and that furnace up and that furnace up, and then you go around and I do my basic things in the morning, and then I come and turn on the music and I bring in my directories for prayer purposes, and you check out that everything's kind of, I'm a little bit, you know, I can't think of the word about the chairs. They have to be just right. I don't know, but I didn't do much this morning, you know. And then I'm walking back in going, I'm singing to a praise song, and, you know, and I'm going, I don't hear the furnace running. And I turned the music off to make sure. I walked out. I flipped switches. I did things with the thermostat, everything I could do without getting a tool out, and because I didn't have time for that. And I felt things fall in my spirit. I was coupling them with our failed camera and streaming last week, and it's like, come on, God, why can't we, you know, why can't everything be right? And I know, of course, what I'm preaching about, which is very valuable to have a direction, you know, and a preparation that you're doing. That's one of the values of doing devotions in your world, because God will use those things. He knows what's coming, right? He always knows what's coming. And he said, but look, you have a building and a roof, and those furnaces are working. We can open the doors and get enough heat, and people are going to come in, and you have lots to praise. And I said, yeah, you're in control. You knew the furnace wasn't going to work this morning. And that just melts away my desire. I hate to say that I have it. It's not intentional, but it crops up to control things and to say, man, you know what you're doing. Something special is going to happen today because the heat doesn't work. Praise you, Lord. It just takes that, but you have to keep doing it. You don't just praise him once and then you lose all your, you know, attachments to being in control. By the way, we all suffer from this at different levels. And we have areas, obsessive compulsive. We each can point at our spouse or our kids or someone else and say, why are you so compulsive about that. Well, why am I so compulsive about the stinking chairs? I don't know. It's the way I am. So we admit it and go on. Praise aligns us with God. Who's in control? It reminds us and reinforces that God is in control when we praise him. It reminds us who's holy. Who is holy? I'm not holy. Sometimes we get to feeling that we're pretty good. So it, when we praise him, we exalt his holiness and we begin to feed a proper humility in us. But there's another side to that too. The other side of the question, who is holy, is when we say, not only am I not holy, I'm worthless. But when you praise him in his holiness and you remember we have his holiness, nobody has a right to say, I'm worthless. Because he died for everyone. And that gives us automatic value. And we're covered with the blood of Jesus. And that's how God the Father looks upon us, in that holiness. And when we praise him, we remember he's holy. He's without fault. You know, all of the weird interpretations of Scripture that we see out in interweb land, undercut the true concept of the holiness of God the Father, the Creator, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In looking at it in human terms and trying to define our world and the failings of this world and somehow blame of the one who put it all in place instead of praising him because he's holy and we are not, and we don't deserve anything that he ever does for us, but he has said, I want you to be holy like I'm holy, so I'm coming. I'm coming to stand in your place. I'm coming to die in your place, and I'm going to share this holiness with you. His holiness in us. So praise aligns us with God. It reminds us who's in control. It reminds us who's holy. And finally, for our purposes this morning, who provides? Who really provides? Did I work hard and do overtime and I was good and I provided for my family? Well, I did do some of those things, but guess who provided the ability to do that? He provided the kind of person I can be put together to do, and you too, and your unique giftedness. He gives you opportunities, and he pours out blessings on you. And God is the God who provides. And when he provides, and we praise him for what he has provided, he positions us to receive even more of his provision. The other side of being reminded of who our provider is so that we don't take that credit for ourselves is it keeps us from striving, thinking, I'm responsible. I have to make this happen. You ever get caught in that trap? And you're just racking your brains and the anxiety level goes way up and you take it out on your family or it helps you, it causes you not to be as productive and all those other things. But when I'm praising him and I'm coming into alignment, it is his control, it's his holiness, it's his providence. I find peace. I'm aligned with God. And guess what? When I praise him and I align with him, I learn better. I'm not sure if that's the correct word, but that's the one I'm going to use. I learn better how to be in his presence. It all comes back around. So if I'm just beginning this journey of what is the presence of Jesus? So, you know, coming into relationship with him is not praying a certain prayer. It is this whole relationship with him. And that helps when we praise him to get into the value of the relationship and nurture that relationship. So when we praise, when we walk in eyes open, which I'm praying that you will walk in next Sunday eyes open. I'm not going to call on anybody, so don't have a burden of, you know, like discovery. But I'm going to be praying for you, and some of you by name. I mean, I know who you guys are, right? I know who's shared in the past, but I'll never call you out on it. You won't even know, but I'm praying that that happens. The presence of Jesus draws praise, and praise aligns us with God. Number three, finally, my praise encourages others. My praise encourages others, and particularly, my praise encourages other people to praise. There's way more encouragements than that, but for the purposes of where we're going for next week, that's what we're talking about. This term viral popped right into my head as soon as that point came up on my page. The praise has the potential to go viral, like that one video that's so good, so funny. Anything about bacon, that's in my wheelhouse. That'll go viral. You want people to, and this is the potential of praise, and it's not the only aspect of Jesus going viral, because that's really what we're talking about. That's how God moves in waves in the Great Awakening and the different revivals. Our most recent Asbury revival, there is also all the sudden a wave of viral connection that God moves over people. People find Jesus and find expressions of his presence in their life. Psalm 22, by the way, the Psalms, if you need some help, just leave through the Psalms. When you're reading down one and David's complaining about an enemy, just skip down. Because every time, even within the Psalm, the worst things he says about an enemy, he always ends by praising the Lord. That's valuable. That's really valuable to know. So anyway, Psalm 22, verses 22 and 23. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. So that's pointed to their lineage, but we have the common spiritual lineage of being in Christ. If you are following Jesus, if you have surrendered your life and you want him to lead you in all your life and you're struggling to do that. So I try to always term it that way. There's a continuum, and we are successful and highly successful at some aspects of this. We struggle with others, and sometimes it's intermixed. We're heading in the direction of Jesus. We have that same lineage, and when I praise, I know you feel it. Unfortunately, folks that are online, often when somebody springs up in praise here, you don't even hear what's going on, which is unfortunate. I get one of those sports sidelines parabolic microphones, and we might be able to make that work. I'd love to do that. You know, have the headset on. I'll go like that. Anyway, sorry. I'm just trying to keep warm. But you know when somebody praises, you know something stirs in you, whether you say something and respond verbally or not. You know what? Why don't you respond verbally in kind, in praise? So, I want to give you a little help in the week ahead. You may have other helps, and you know, use whatever you have. But here's a couple of things. There's on our website, and I made 15 copies here, 67 names of Jesus, because one of the things we ask in praise is who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? You look at the celebration of the crowd. What they knew of Jesus in their own limited understanding, they were echoing back. He's the King. He's the Savior. He's the miracle worker. Who Jesus is will help us understand how to praise that aspect of him. So I found a list of 600 names, but I thought I don't want to waste, I'm sorry, waste is probably not the right word. I didn't want to use that much paper, and you probably wouldn't stick with 600 names or 400 names. I got a list and pared them down to 67 names. So there, and with some accompanying scripture, just let me read just a few. He's the advocate. He's the arm of the Lord. The beginning of creation of God. He's the chief shepherd. He's the cornerstone. He's the great high priest. The holy and righteous one, 67. There's 15 copies and one extra that isn't stapled, but I like to staple because I don't like my pages falling out. You can grab one of these, but you could also go to our website, lfmchurch.net. And if you click on the 10:30 live service button, it will take you to a page with today's handout, the stream from today, the JPEG of today's handout, and a button where you can go to this document. It's a little more complicated, but and download it or just refer to it every day. Every day this week, take a minimum of 5 minutes. Take up this challenge. You don't have to tell me you're doing it, but take up this challenge. Make a covenant with yourself and maybe tell somebody else. And review names of Jesus and use other resources. I hope you're reading your Bible on a regular basis. I call that every day. That's just valuable because we leak. And then the other question is, who Jesus is to me. So I just am, as I'm reading through these names of Jesus, they can seem quite formal and may not click with what I've been through and how he's blessed me. So that's great. You don't have to use these. But ask God, and for 5 minutes, you can do five minutes. I believe everyone here, everybody, I believe you can carve out 5 minutes. John Wesley's mother, with all her 14 or 16 or 18 kids, I don't remember how, would throw her apron over her head, and her kids knew, don't bother mom. So if that's you, throw your apron over and get 5 minutes and review who Jesus is, whether it's a list of names or reviewing in your mind what you've read over in the scripture or how he's presented himself to you as he has met your needs and saved you and provided miracles in your life and been your king and your Lord. And who is he to me? And be reflecting on that. And that's your preparation for next Sunday. So when we say it's time to praise, here's what I'm looking for, and of course God can do whatever he wants and he has that freedom. But rather than having three people tell one long faith praise story, I'd like to have 60 people praise the Lord for 10 seconds each. Like Jesus coming in and people just shouted out. It was a little perhaps more emotional. We don't want emotion to be our, Lord, but emotion we're given and expressing that. So anyway, that's where we're going. And this is also going to help us as we look forward to the Linden Faith Walk, because that event is not a regular Sunday morning, 10:30, and maybe he's done. I might even be done on time today. I don't know. I still got 6 minutes. But on this day, on May 4th, Saturday at 7 p.m., we're going to have the Living Notes with Dan and Karen, their band, and they're going to be playing music, and we're going to have live and recorded testimonies. Our aim is that you come and celebrate, but you invite other people to come and celebrate too, and maybe find this Jesus who is to be praised for their own life so that they can receive the benefit of praising the Lord and being aligned with God, which alignment with God protects us from the evils of the world. And we now have these cards. Dan brought them in this morning. They're out in the info booth. There's a space so they didn't print them at the top. So start your testimony at the top and then continue it at the bottom. Some of you won't be able to do that. I don't know how we'll figure that out, but we'll work on that. But I also invite you to go to our website and check out our webpage. Now we have a Linden Faith Walk webpage. You see that. Oh, no, that's current connection. Oh, yeah, that takes you to the place where you can click on the 67 names of Jesus. But if you go to our website, there's a graphic, this same graphic, and if you click on the graphic, it takes you to the Faith Walk page. And what you see on that Faith Walk page is the video, that Dan put together that we watched 2 months ago, I think is about, and you can see that on both of our private and our public Facebook places, although I think they blocked it on one of them. I'm not sure how that worked. And you'll see this video, you'll see Dan's testimony and some other testimonies and some information, and there's another button on there. We're just going to continue to add testimonies to that. So I sent out an email, a group email, mass email to everybody who's on that list. So if you didn't get it and you want on that list, give me your email address and I'll put you on that list with a link to this page. And so a cool thing, this was what I hoped would happen. I posted that on Facebook and I sent that mass email out, and James Bridgman, you know James, he's not able to be here all the time. He suffers from the effects of being in the service and some things that happened to him there. But he saw that, and there's a connect card at the bottom of the Faith Walk page, very similar to the one we have on our for guests on that page. But this one has room for 500 words in the message box. He typed out his testimony, hit the send button, came into my mailbox. I looked at it, I posted it on Facebook, and I posted it on that page so we can read the testimonies of what God has done in our life. That's what the world needs. Pardon me? And so that's what we're going to keep doing. Everyone comes in, so we don't have just random strangers posting some weird stuff. It has to be seen by me and then transferred onto our other media. And man, let's light this thing up. Because Jesus' presence draws praise, and when we praise him, we draw closer to him. And we're protected from this world. We're empowered to do the calling he's called us to do. So, man, I'm going to be praying into next week, and next week's going to help feed our Linden prayer walk. And not only that, I shouldn't say not only that, Resurrection Day, Easter's 2 weeks away. And we're going to have people here who come one or two times a year, Easter and Christmas. And don't ever think that someone who isn't here next week to hear your testimony doesn't benefit, I mean your praise, doesn't benefit from the fact you've praised. Because in the kingdom, all things connect. And all things work together as God uses it to spread the good news. It's good news. It's the best news ever. Vicki. Lyric. Like lyrics to a song, it's like that. That's what he told me when I took him home last Sunday. He said, I'm trying to get my family to come. Amen. Lori. We're getting a head start on next week. God is at work, and we need to talk about what he's doing in our lives, and that will spread to more and more people. Right. Well, thank you. Mike. Okay, so you've got your assignment. I'm going to, when the band comes up while I pray and I say amen, I'm taking these right out to the info booth. There's 15. I will print more. It takes but a nothing almost to get these printed out. But I recommend you going and getting the electronic versions and spread that around. By the way, if any you have, share the Faith Walk link with anybody you can think of and just have them go there and read some of those stories. God is at work, and we're right in the midst of it. So let's stand up and pray, and then we'll sing the doxology. Oh, Lord, thank you for being worthy of praise, and thank you for being different than the people in this world who say, build me up, put me at the top. I'm better than you, and you better realize it. You instead, though being God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, as Paul wrote, but you took the very nature of a servant all the way to the cross so that we could find you, so that we could be near you, and you could move in our lives, and we could praise you for what you've done and praise you to others to help them experience the draw and the goodness of being released from the expectations of this wounded world and brought into the peace of the coming full kingdom, which is already working in us and in this place. So help us this week, not just to have spent this day together and had great conversations and singing and all of those good connections, but to set some time aside, at least 5 minutes a day, to contemplate the goodness and greatness of you and what that has meant to us, so that we can not only express it in a designated service, but that it just becomes natural that we are people who praise you because you are always good all the time. We commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.